This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Well, happy new year.
Yes, happy new year. Happy holidays.
Hope you had a great 2021. 2021 was weird as fuck. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. Like, this is weird as fuck. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, Brittany. What's up? It's Ace.
And this actually will be the last episode of the year for us. We're gonna have 2 more episodes, one next week and one the week after, but they will be reruns from a long time ago, 3 years ago. Maybe some of you haven't heard them yet. There are 2 of our favorite episodes that we just feel like you could use a little bit more love. And also, if you are spending time with your family or friends during the holidays and you're like, you know, I don't want to listen to podcasts. Well, this is just, you know, this is reruns.
The truth is we don't trust you.
We don't trust you.
We don't think you're going to actually tune in. And
we don't want to prepare our heart and soul into some new episodes for the end of the year if you are not going to tune into them.
There's just not enough trust here, and so until you've established that trust with us, we just can't.
No, but honestly, I get requests all the time for topics that we have already covered in the first year of Shit They Don't Tell You, and so I feel like these will be very helpful for you if you have not seen them or heard them yet, and so I hope you enjoy them. But that's not this episode. This episode, I thought, because it's the last year that we're doing the last episode that we're doing of 2021, which, by the way, I can't believe we're at the end of 2021. I feel like it went in the blink of an eye, right? But I also feel like I am so wildly different, both internally and externally. Like, my world is completely different than it was at the beginning of 2021 or at the end of 2020. Same. So I wanted to just kind of examine the year. And, you know, a lot of why this show was created was like to talk about shit they don't tell you, right? Like shit that we wish that we would have known, whether it be finance or investing or relationships or whatever. And then kind of like reiterate it to people after we learned it so that people don't make the same mistakes as us.
Yes.
And sometimes on our show, Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, which is the bonus episode that goes on our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, if you're interested, we do a monthly episode where we talk about shit that we wish people would have told us that we're going through right now that we haven't processed yet. So I thought we could like kind of recap some of the stuff in 2021 that like was some Shit They Don't Tell You moments, you know? Maybe we could start with like what your favorite moment of 2021 was. And why?
It's so unfair because I have a recency bias.
Yeah, true. Same.
I have a severe recency bias. But, you know, moving into this house that we're in right now is my favorite moment of 2021.
Absolutely. Same.
Well, it's my favorite physical moment of 2021. Well,
cryptocurrency moment.
Yeah, crypto is my favorite moment of 2021 for sure.
There you go.
Especially the way that the beginning of the year started, where, if you remember, my favorite coin at the time, OMG, had gotten sold in December. This other company was coming in, and I was like, holy shit.
I can't believe that was a year ago, by the way.
It was a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a year ago. And I remember telling Nikki, I was like, and this is all just being completely honest with everybody. I was like, man, I've done this for so long. Maybe I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Because I was so sure about this as a hold. Like, I couldn't even begin to tell you. I mean, anybody who's listened to Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, even for like 2 years, knows that I was like obsessed with this token particularly. But coming into this year, I was like, man, this, they sold it. I was like, this changes everything. And I had COVID at the time too.
Right. And so you had a lot of time alone to think.
I had a lot of time alone to like really just go over my move on this one. And then once I decided to part ways with it, it was almost like I was parting ways with an ex that had treated me ill for years, even though it worked out great. Like, I did not lose money on it. But as soon as I knew to sell it, I knew what to do next. I knew where to move my money every time. So, like, I did it, like, moved into this coin called SNX, moved into this coin called AAVE. Moved, like, every move I made money off of.
Yeah.
Like, instantly. Like, so, like, it's just so funny because...
It's like everything you learn compounded into this year.
Yes.
Where the fog clears and like the moves become easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like I'm in 2000 and like fucking 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
when I had an improv breakthrough.
Yes,
and like,
exactly.
I could just see all the.
That's exactly what it seems like to me.
I could see it and like the rules just melt away and I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, I just see it for what it is.
Yes. Every like really good improviser has that moment where it's like, you're just hitting a wall, hitting a wall, hitting a wall, and then all of a sudden you break through that wall. And I think that I saw that happen with you with crypto. Like, you were good before. You knew things before. You made some good calls. But this year, you really hit a stride where you just... It seems like magic to people watching because they haven't, like, reached that level yet. You know, it's just like any art form, any skill, any craft, anything... When you reach a certain point, all of a sudden you're doing what comes naturally to you because you've been working at it so long. But to an outsider, it's like, oh my God, that's like magic.
Yeah. And, but the best thing too is that I just have, I think, the best support system of anybody ever. Like, I have my little brother Ken, I have my buddies that I've been with since all this hell started. Like, all the hell of the bear market started. And we've all just had each other's backs like nothing else. I've had my wife, yes, no question, who had my back, I have to say, at the darkest moment.
I feel like I had the power in my hands to be like, you should quit forever. And you would have.
You did. Yeah, you did.
And did I do that? Did I say any of that?
You actually gave me faith. You gave me a little spark of faith in the moment where I needed it the most. For sure. For sure. But.
So that's pretty cool. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Pretty sick wife.
And there's no but there. That is what I want to say. But I also, I have to love
my boys. Yeah, you have a really good community.
My boys, especially. Well, even before Crypto Corner, which became like, I mean, dude. I can't even begin to tell you about the Crypto Corner people. I love these people. These are the best people you'll find on the internet. But my boys, who I got into OMG with, brothers for life.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget them for the rest of my life. I love every one of those guys because we had each other's backs when nobody had ours, and we had the faith when everyone thought that we were doomed. And we just all knew together that we would make it, and we all did. And it just feels so good to say that.
Yeah.
It feels good to be on this side.
On the other side, yeah.
Because I was on the other side of it for a long time saying, I know we're going to make it, but now I'm on the side where we did make it.
Yeah.
And it just is unbelievable that we did. Because like we actually did pull it off, boys. Like, I love all you boys.
That's so rad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in that way, that's how I feel about the like buying this house too. Because the house stuff has always been kind of my jam of like research and finding, you know, figuring out how much things cost in that area, finding the neighborhoods, finding all that stuff. And when we got our condo, it was, you know, I felt like it was a pretty good, we found a pretty good deal. And then we did, you know, like when we sold it, you know, it was the right timing in the market for everything. The housing market is booming everywhere. It's, you know, it could be a bubble. We don't know, whatever. But my point is, at the beginning of this year, we were already looking in Vegas, and we thought we found our dream home. It was actually in this neighborhood, but it was like one of the neighborhoods right over there.
Really close.
Yeah. And it was for $100,000 cheaper than it was by the time we started looking, well, actually buying the, yeah, the property.
Starting to take it seriously.
Yeah, yeah. And things in the middle, in the interim, when we were looking in the summertime, so that was in February that we found that house, we passed on it. I thought prices would come down. I thought that, like, people were saying, oh, we're in a bubble, it's going to come down this year or whatever. And then it didn't. It skyrocketed. And then Vegas was even crazier than LA in some regards, because things were, we flew out here in the summertime to go look at houses, and every single one I put on my list to look at, which had just been listed the date that day, was gone the next day. It was all under contract the very next day. We didn't even get a chance to look at them. So they were going within a day. And so I was like, man, like, I really thought we were going to move to Vegas this year, but I just don't see how. Like, yes, there's like no way to like put an offer in time, and we would have to sell our condo first and all this stuff. And then the market started slowing down, and like, we actually got in at the like the right time, because then after we got this place, there was nothing like it again. Yep. And when I look back on everything, I'm glad that we missed out on that other place, because I actually like this place way more.
I like it way more. Yeah. I like the neighborhood so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I like the bones of this place way more.
Way more.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, and the neighbors are super friendly. I got to meet some of them today. Yeah, and yeah, they're all just like, it's like a community. It's really cool. And then it's really close to my favorite casino. And I just feel like we're living in a dream right now. So yeah, I do have a recency bias as well. Yeah. But I feel like the following your gut thing is, and waiting for the right timing. Cause you know, we seemed like we were on the fence for a while. If you've been listening to anything that we've been on, whether it's podcast or Big Mood or vlogs or JK or whatever, oh, yeah, we always like, okay, we're moving. Okay. Maybe we're not moving. Okay. Maybe yeah, we're staying. Maybe we're cool with staying. And that was like following the not forcing it rule, which we have like of, you know, we want something, you have a goal in mind, but if you try to force it, not like, I'm not talking about putting action towards it. I'm just talking about like trying to force something that doesn't, it's like, it's not fitting right now. It's just not supposed to happen at that time then. And so waiting for the right time when we both felt like we got to go now. Like now's, we both felt it at the same exact time where we were like, we're ready to list our condo. Because before, I didn't want to list the condo before we found a
place. And we were the same.
Place.
We would sit in the hot tub and we would be ambivalent. But then it just happened the same moment with each other.
We're, it was like the, the magic in LA just died for us at the same moment. Yeah. And yeah, I can't explain it, but we were both very intuitive.
We were in traffic, heading to the Ace Casino.
The
Bicycle Casino.
It's called the Hustler.
The Hustle Casino. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't know ever where I am.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, I don't like LA anymore.
Yeah, we used to drive through LA, and even in traffic, I'd look at all the buildings and I'd be like, oh, I love it here still.
Same.
And the sun reflecting off of the buildings. And I'm just like, there's just a magic in the air. There's like a hustle to it. There's an energy to it. And it just felt gone.
And the energy I used to feel, even when I was in San Diego, Santa Barbara, wherever we went, I was like, I miss home. I miss LA.
Yeah. And when we would drive, when we'd pass the city.
Yep.
Borderline, we'd be like, we love being here.
And then we lost.
We love the city. We love this fucking city. Sometimes we would just say that out loud. We'd be like, well, I love this fucking city. Yep. And then we just didn't love that city anymore. And it's weird how that changed. And a lot of people had the same sentiment. And I'm not knocking LA just because I'm gone now, like, you know, like it's an ex or whatever. But it did kind of feel like we were in a toxic relationship with.
Definitely.
And then now we're free and we're like, oh shit, it wasn't as like, she wasn't as pretty as I thought she was before.
No, she wasn't very nice.
She was kind of a bitch.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway, what is the biggest thing you learned this year, you think?
You know, believe it or not, and this is a crazy maybe sounding thing because of what's happened to me this year, but being humble in the face of, because, you know, famously, I talk about this all the time, I at one point had 800 Ethereum.
Uh-huh.
It's like $4 million right now.
Yeah.
But if you're humble in the face of the market and you recognize that you don't know everything about the market, right? But you know how to win inside of the market, like while giving that away, like going, hey, I don't know at all. I fucked up here. But I think I learned from that big time.
Yeah.
And like, so thankfully, because of that, I now know to do this. And it's worked out great.
Exactly.
Like amazingly great. But like, if I didn't go through that,
then you wouldn't have known or appreciated.
And this is maybe coping, right? I understand. If anyone listening is just like, he's coping. I get it. But really, honestly, I really do mean this. Because I know people, like my buddy, Bart, knows people who are like, hey, if you buy Bitcoin, you buy Ethereum, and you just wait, that's where I made all my money. You just fucking sit there. But I have killed those guys in the ratios.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm more interested in crypto than those guys. Because those guys got richer than me.
Yeah, it's like if you're in the stock market and you don't want to do all the research of each individual business and you just want to, you know, let your money... just invest in an index, or you invest in the market and you just like you get the 10% on average returns on every year.
It's totally fine. And it's great. But it's not the best way to win.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I'm like...
Yeah, because if you're going to... It's not the best way to build wealth and get rich if you aren't already rich. Like, if you're just looking for a way to kind of hold your money and beat inflation, then sure. Like, you can invest in the market because inflation's above 6% right now.
But I have to say, like, I had 800 Ethereum at one point, but thanks to my moves, I could potentially get it back in the ratios.
Yeah.
Like,
That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you.
No, I know.
I'm just helping on, explain it further.
But that's what's so beautiful about the moves that I made and not thinking that like, okay, I have to do the traditional thing, which by the way, it's optional for anybody. I actually recommend it. If you're new to my crypto corner thing, I'm always like, hey, get the tripod, get Bitcoin, Ethereum, Binance Smart Coin, like or BNB, and like just chill. But like, you know, if you want to be more aggressive, there are other moves to make that I way more am into. And that's like what I've done. And it's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
So yeah, that I'm thankful for, that I didn't get lazy because I got rich. I'm glad that I had to wait to get rich because I am able to communicate the space so much better than I could have if I was just lazy.
Totally. That's actually the thing that I was trying to tell our Discord on Patreon, because you were doing Crypto Corner and they're like, oh, Nikki, you should do a stock corner or a stock talk. And I was like, this is going to sound really stupid, but I don't feel like I'm ready to do that or like to give any sort of like thorough financial advice in that area because I haven't really lost yet. And they're like, oh, that's good problem to have. And I was like, no, it's actually, I wish I had some mistakes because I don't know what I don't know yet. And I at least know where I am in that regard, that like, I know there's stuff that I don't know yet and I won't know it until it happens. Yep. And then I can learn from it. And so I don't feel comfortable being cocky, being like, this is all you gotta do. And then that's not, and I don't really know what I'm saying because I haven't hit a downside yet, you know? So yeah, I'm learning more about the space. Maybe I could do it without making big mistakes. I don't know.
But this is why if Nikki tells you something, it really is great, because Nikki really does not fuck around. Like, she won't bullshit you ever.
Yeah, I'm actually very big on, and I've been called stupid many times because of falling on my face, but I don't mind falling on my face. And I've said this many times, and I don't know if anyone believes me, but that whole failing forward thing, I have learned so much more from the mistakes that I've made, from falling on my fucking face, from looking like an idiot, than I have from like cruising and being cool, you know? And I wish more people would be okay with that, with making mistakes and knowing that you get such a richer education from that, from making mistakes, than you do from like trying to, you know, be safe about everything and not take too many risks. And because what if this happens? Like, you don't learn that way.
No.
I've never
heard anybody who won that way.
No success, like super successful person I know that's never made a mistake.
I was really careful.
Yeah.
And it's it's not that being reckless is helpful either.
No. It's just, it's calculated risk is what it is.
Yes.
And just knowing the boundaries and your limits and the way to know your limits. It's just like when you first got drunk. I don't know if you've ever been drunk, listener, but the first time I ever got drunk, I was 15. And I didn't know how much got you drunk. And I didn't know what being drunk felt like enough to know when I've had enough to drink and that I'm drunk enough. Yep. So I drank a water bottle full of vodka, pure vodka, straight up vodka.
Oh, no.
And you know me.
You're lightweight.
I'm so lightweight. Like literally a shot of vodka will have me wrecked for the
two
night.
Two shots of wine, she's over. It's over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not even a half glass of wine.
For
and
real.
I'm
for real.
Done. She's so toast. Me at 15, we just like, oh, we got alcohol. We scored some alcohol. And so I got a water bottle, like a Crystal Springs water bottle. And my friend got a water bottle and we chugged it.
No.
Worst fucking night of my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You never liked vodka anyway.
Oh, yeah, but I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
And the next time I drank vodka, I did not drink a fucking water bottle full.
Yeah, yeah.
I drank like two shots, saw how that affected me first. And I was like, okay, I think this is actually kind of enough. And then I tried one shot the next time, you know, and then you find your boundaries and you know. And now I know if I take more than like a shot and a half of vodka, I'm in for a wild ride. Yeah, but I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't fucked up, you know. And not, I'm not saying everyone needs to fuck up to learn that, but that's just an example of one mistake where it's like, oh, I feel like shit and now I'm never going to do that again.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, fuck perfect is why I think that message resonates so much with me. Because if you're just trying to do everything perfectly and color within the lines, you'll never really, really know how to make your own art.
That, thank you for that segue. That reminds me. Another thing I learned in 2021 is actually, you know, huge kudos to Nikki. She actually started Crypto Corner. So like I was circling how to do this for a long time. Because I was like, man, I love this shit. Nikki knows how much I love it. I was like, I want to do a crypto show, but I want to do it right. I want to do it well and all this shit. And one day, Nikki just fucking took her camera and she walked to my office. And she's like, we're doing your show right now. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, we're just doing it. Fuck you. We're doing it. And then she fired up the camera and she knows how I am when you turn something on and you put the red button on. And then she's like, all right, tell me about the cryptos. And then I just launched.
Yeah.
And that's what made me go, oh, this isn't something that I have to overthink.
Which, yeah.
You know, it's like taking your own advice in a way, because I remember sitting there for many VidCon panels and people were like, how do I start a YouTube channel? I'm like, just fucking start. Who gives a shit? But then, like, you're not taking your own advice always. Like, you're trying to be like this person that everyone sees and it goes like, well, he started something before, so you want to do something like of a different caliber.
You're comparing to yourself to yourself.
Of course.
You set a standard,
of course,
for the type of content.
And that was the worst thing for me,
yeah,
because I wasn't just starting things. I was just like waiting to start things. So then once I just started it, thanks to you, it was just easy. And
yeah,
after that, I remember even like, because I remember at the time, like I told Nikki, I was like, I'm going to do this every week. And she's like, well, I don't know. He's going to do it every week, everybody, but we'll see.
Consistency hasn't been exactly in his track record.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong, because it was hard for me to like actually
do it without
a
producer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Without a team. Well,
that's when you changed it to live streaming.
And that was beautiful for me.
Yeah.
And thanks to my buddy, Joe Zakawa, like doing live streams was something that was like in the back of my head, because I had just done them like
the technical
like 6
aspect.
Months. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just kismet. Everything came together well and it was perfect.
Yeah, the timing of things.
Yes.
I felt like a lot of this year was things happening and being like, oh, that's why that one thing had to happen for this thing to happen for me to have this moment right now, which is better than any moment I could have ever conjured had I been trying to force it or try, you know, made it happen.
Exactly.
The biggest thing for me that I've learned this year is, you know, kind of opposite to what you just said, but was to chill more.
Oh, yeah.
Because ever since you've ever known me,
yes,
I am a ball of anxiety. Yes. I put way too many things on my plate, and then I think I have to keep up with all of them, and I get really scared to drop any ball, and I just have a lot of panic attacks, and I just think, well, if I lose this, then everything will fall apart. And I just think, like, if I let one ball drop, then everything's going to fall apart. Well, last year, Google twice in the year, which they do this like every 2 years usually, but this happened like multiple times last year where it just messed with my channel. This channel right now, youtube.com/NikkiLema, that I've been, you know, working on forever. Every couple years, they just come in with a wrecking ball and something destroys it. And I'm not talking like everyone complains about the algorithm, right? But like you see a slow trickle with that, usually with channels complaining about their views dropping. This was like they took a sledgehammer and a show like Tasty Tuesday that would consistently get not crazy amounts of views, but like 40,000 a week, like consistently on average. All of a sudden, one day gets cut down to 15,000 and it never goes back up. And like, and it's not just a gradual decline, which I could understand. And then I could kind of, you know, play with and maybe adjust some things. And like, maybe people aren't interested in this anymore. But no, this was just like a
boom,
like just one sliced. Week, boom, bye. And it happened so many times that I just stopped. I just stopped creating content on this channel, except for this podcast, because at the time we had a contract to continue videos on this channel with the podcast, which thank God, because I wouldn't have continued anything. True. I would have just stopped uploading, period, on this channel because I was so frustrated and upset. And I continued on my vlog channel, youtube.com/Nikki, but it's just vlogs. It's not edited. It's not like really super edited content or the things
it's
that I was
great.
Doing before.
I love it. Fuck
I like
you.
It. It's very freeing. But I was scared because I had done Tasty Tuesday for 5 years. And I didn't know myself without, you know, fretting about what to do to make that week and like Sundays and making sure I have all the ingredients. And, you know, I had an editor on Tasty Tuesday and making sure she got the footage and making sure just everything was okay with Tasty Tuesday. And then the other formats we were doing Sticky Show. We were doing a lot of,
yeah,
of things. And it just felt like I let go a 1 week or, and then it went into 2 weeks and then 3 weeks. And then I just kept letting go. And I was like, I don't know what is supposed to happen. Maybe I'm fucking up like crazy. Maybe this is just like going to ruin everything. Cause that's the fear I always have in my head, that if I let the ball drop on one thing, that everything's going to get ruined. But yeah, so it just kept going and I found new interests and new passions. And I started exploring those. And I'm thankful that I had that extra time. And it just felt freeing to explore something, not because I had to do it or felt like I had to do it, but just because I wanted to do it, like how it originally started.
Yeah.
You know, originally making YouTube content, it's like, you just want to do it. You don't care about anything else. Like, yeah. And it's not that I really cared about, oh, I have to have this many views or this much money or AdSense or whatever. It was just more about like, I'm pissed that the people that subscribe just aren't getting it. And I would get so many comments like, yeah. I got unsubscribed to you. I'm not getting your videos anymore in my feed. Like just all this really frustrating stuff that it's hard to maintain consistency or be motivated to be consistent or do something every week when you have no control over something random like that happening. And so if I'm going to have no control over it, then I just want to do something that I'm very passionate about. And so I just started working on a few things like our podcast, Big Mood, and then my vlog channel, which was super easy because it was just vlogging my daily life and like hardly editing it. It's a pretty raw view of that. I do like picking out the music for that. But other than that, there's just really like random cuts of my life. And then because I had like more freedom, I started getting into poker. I restarted my jewelry line. Launching my jewelry line was one of the best things that happened to me this year too. Mm-hmm. That was something I really wanted to do for years now since it got cut off in 2019. And I didn't know how, and I didn't have time to learn how or try to figure out how. And then I did all of a sudden have time to figure out how. And then we did it and it felt so good. It felt so good to just do something that I just really wanted to do and without knowing where it was going to end up or if anyone was interested like anymore. People had been saying they were, but I didn't know if anyone still cared or wanted to know about it. So, yeah, it was just a lot of like new and just taking like leaps of faith and like letting go and like having trust, which was always so hard for me. Like letting go of control is really hard for me.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, and so this year, I felt like I just did that for the first time ever, and it's worked out great. Like things are just like things flow to you more when you let them, rather than trying to force it. Like I was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. and I just feel like I've gotten more in touch with intuitively doing something now, rather than feeling like, oh, I have to because like these are the rules and this is what it says and this is what you should do and like robotic about it. It's like, oh, I kind of feel like this is where I've been being pulled. And then that is where I'm supposed to be going.
I think so.
Yeah. So it's like, I got a little bit of you and you got a little bit of me this year.
For sure. For sure.
And on that note, we're going to go on a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some more shit they don't tell you that we learned in 2021.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turn your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout Podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blyke.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Hello, and we're back, and we're going to talk about more things that we learned in 2021 or whatever. We're just recapping 2021, that some shit they don't tell you that we think that they should tell you, that we just found out they should tell you.
We didn't necessarily just
cool
find
segue.
Out.
It's a cool segue, Nikki.
Not that good of a segue, but fine.
Very
we'll
cool
it.
Segue, Nikki.
We'll take it.
So what would you say is something that happened this year, like that was... that you thought maybe wasn't a good thing that happened this year? Like, was there any, like, worst moments that ended up being okay? Because...
Recently, and, you know, sucks, but, yeah, our family dog passed away. It was very sad. Our dog,
so, like,
Kobe.
Are you learning about dealing with loss? Or?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, dude, yeah. I have been so spoiled with loss that...
Yeah.
You know, I lost my grandfather. Like, that was, like, fucking 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like this one was tough for me, especially because I really didn't have anybody to talk to about it.
I think about that a lot, too, because same, like I feel like we've had the same amount of death experience and very fortunate and very grateful for that. But also like, man, it's going to be a slap in the face, yeah. Like when it actually...
The roughness.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Toby happening is... that's...
And you knew Toby. So
yeah.
Toby was the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it just caught me by surprise. It was just one of those things where, like, you know, if you told me about it, like, in the abstract, like, oh, hey, a year from now, like, that dog will pass away, it would have been a different thing. But, like,
yeah.
The fact that it happened the way it did, like, as soon as it did.
Because, like, did you even know there was anything wrong?
No.
Yeah.
No. But that dog always was doing stupid
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, he was.
So
he was, like, eating
know.
Socks and stuff.
Yeah, he's eating fucking my mom's socks.
He had to go through,
shit.
Like, four surgeries for these socks.
Exactly. We had to spend thousands of dollars on surgeries for that fucking dog. But he was the best, man. For some reason, that dog, when you were there with him, I mean, you saw this, but when you were there with him, and this may be some stupid animal people shit, but... he could, like, just jump on your shoulders and, like, stare in your eyes, and you're, like, you felt like you're, like, communicating with a human from, like, another time. Like, he was just
he was
that
like
way.
Yoda.
Yeah, he was just that way. He was very deep in a weird way. So, yeah, he was, you know, I don't know. I really bonded with that dog. And I remember there was even a time where my family thought about having to not have him, and I was like, I'll take Toby. Even if I have to move, I'd take Toby. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I and it's probably, this is really just probably more about me being afraid about
yeah
something next.
Yeah.
Than just Toby. But I love that dog so much. And I'm, yeah, I guess I'm terrified of like losing a real deal family member.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually went through that in therapy this year about, like, I hadn't even lost anything yet. Like, but it was the fact that I hadn't that was freaking me out. That, like, I think one of my friends had a relative that passed away. And I just, it made me just start thinking about how, like, that's inevitably going to happen. And how, like, I don't feel equipped to
yeah.
deal with that. Like, I don't know how to, I can't even process it, you know, at all. And, of course, you start thinking about the ones that'll probably go first, and then you're just like, fuck. And then, like, what if something freak happens to, like, you or some... And I just started having panic attacks, and I was talking to my therapist about it. I think I might have talked about an episode of this, or maybe it was Should They Don't Tell You After Dark, but about, like, how to deal with... how to deal with loss, one, but also, like, having lost anyone yet, and how do I... deal with these intrusive thoughts, basically, of like thinking about people I love dying. And it was like, it started out as nostalgia, but then it went into like how fast time goes, and right. how like when I think about the 90s or I'm listening to 90s music, it feels like it was like 5 years ago or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm jamming and I'm feeling good. And like, I just really resonate with 90s music. And then I realized it was 30 years ago and I'm like, holy shit. Like, time goes so
yes.
fast.
Like, NSYNC's about to and be 60.
That's, yeah. So I can't, it's hard for me to cope with that, like, if that went by that fast, then another 30 years is going to go by just as fast, like in the blink of an eye. And the time seems to only go faster. Like, we're already at the end of 2021. And I can't even believe it. And it seems to only go faster. And I just started thinking about that. And my therapist was like, just started having like this deep conversation about life and death, and like asking me, you know, what I feel like happens at the end. Like, do I, like, what are my beliefs? Like, do I think that it's just blackout forever? Or do I think that spirit lives on? Do I think that there's heaven and hell? Like, what do I think? And I was like, well, obviously no one knows, but I'd like to think that you know, that we're all, I feel like we're all connected. Like, all of our energies are connected. I already feel like that, even plant to plants and just everything. Like, I feel like we're all connected. So I'd like to think that this is just your physical form for now, but there's something else in there that lives on. And like, it goes back to source energy, you know, some sort of, like, you join the whole, and then maybe you reincarnate. Maybe it goes into your energy, goes somewhere else. I don't really know what happens, but I don't think it's just like being a human is the only thing ever. Like, and then you die and that's it. And that's the end of you. I think there's something that your energy goes to. And so then she started talking about, cause like, she asked if I had ever lost anyone. And I was like, well, my grandma, but you know, she had Alzheimer's. So I kind of like was letting her go over time. And it was less of a rug pull situation like you're talking about. But as I'm talking about her, I'm like missing her. I'm getting watery eyed and, you know, and like, I'm animated about things I loved about her. And she's like, I think you're really connected. I can hear through your voice that you're super connected to your grandma. You seem like you have a lot of similarities. You're into similar stuff. And I was like, that's true. You know, like, of the family, like, me and her loved being entertainers.
You're free spirits.
Yeah. No one else in my family is like an entertainer.
No way. To give me some credit, I put that together.
You did. Yeah. But she put together the dying part. Like, so you made the similarity, like, oh, you're really like your grandma in a lot of ways. Because I never thought of myself as her, because there was a lot of ways we were very different.
Yeah, for sure.
But the free spirit aspect, And so then she goes, you know, so, it's like, have you ever had a rose bush? And I was like, no. And she's like, well, the roses, they die. Like, they're meant to die. They grow, they're beautiful, they flourish, and then they die. And they're all going to die. But the bush lives on. And the next year there's beautiful roses again. And she's like, what if your grandma lives on through you? Because you obviously took a lot from her, and now you have it in you. And like, a lot of her personality traits shine through you. And I was like, that's so true. Like, that's, I do think that certain personality traits are genetic, that you're just like, some is nurture versus nature, but you know, I think a lot of it is genetic. And I am a lot like a lot of her.
Yes.
I got a piece of her.
Yes.
And then it just made me think of death a lot differently. Not that I am looking forward to any of it, and not that I even know if I could cope better with it, but just having that little tool in my belt, at least I feel like that helps a little bit.
Yeah, because I know that, like, you know, my grandfather, Lieutenant Colonel Richard P. Miller, is one of the greatest men of all time. I absolutely love this man, and everyone in my family knows that I really, like, idolize the guy. I think that he's the person who knew it the least.
Yeah.
And that's what's so ironic about it, is because I, you know, he was very reserved.
Yeah, hard to get to know.
Hard to get to know. You knew him.
Yeah.
Hard to get to know. Hard to talk to. He was very, like, had his routine. And, like, if you got in the middle of his routine, maybe you had a chance. But he was going to do his own thing anyway, which I respected a lot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, he was it's great. It's great to have somebody like him in your life, though, that you can take strength from. Because, like, anytime that I'm ever in a moment, like with Toby dying or anything, or where I feel alone, like I feel truly alone or whatever, I can look at him and go, dude, I got this. I'm related to fucking Richard P. Miller.
Yeah.
And it really does help a lot.
Yeah. So he, like, you got that from him.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, when you talk about things you admire about somebody that passed, or I mean, even someone that's living, like, you're like, just you taking that away from them, like that, you, from that experience with them, it's like they contributed that and that part of them lives on. And even like your favorite entertainers, like even Norm Macdonald passing.
Brutal.
Like there's so much we gained from his presence on Earth, and even listening to him or laughing at his stuff that so many entertainers took from that.
Oh yeah.
And that I do believe that stuff lives on. Like that's kind of like a legacy that lives on, and you can feel it, and you can, and you're, it's like embodied by people now.
For sure.
Yeah, so that was really interesting to learn.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
I can't think of any really worst moments, like something that happened, but I guess like, you know, just the dying of the old and being okay with it. Not a person, but I guess it's kind of similar to yours because it's not a person, but and similar to the control thing where I just felt like a lot of things that I had been building that I thought that I couldn't stop building, even though the passion had died, I was scared to let them go because it's like all I know. And so it's like how a lot of people feel about leaving their jobs that maybe they're not so into anymore. Maybe other things would be more fulfilling for them, but that's all they know. So they stay because it's comfortable and it's too hard to leave. And I felt that. And then I just kind of felt this melting away of the old, and it was scary, but also the unknown and like the thrill of it reignited like the adventure part of life for me. Like the part that spark, you know, that like joy and that like living for like the wonder and curiosity of life and like what's next, we don't know. Like that's like the fun part, even though it's the scary part too, but it's like the fun part. And like if you knew exactly what was going to happen in your life, it wouldn't be that fun.
No way.
Like that's like, it's just like playing poker. You know, you want to win your hand, right? And like when you have a really good hand, it really fucking sucks to get drawn out on when someone like hits something on the river.
No one knows what drawn out it's, means.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Okay, so if like I have like, maybe I have a three of a kind and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to fucking win this hand and get as much money in the middle as possible. And then someone hits a flush on the river, but they shouldn't have called. It's like, ah, it sucks. I wish that shouldn't have happened and I'm mad. But when you think of it in a broader scope, it's like, if you knew you were going to win or what hands you were going to win each time and there was no variance at all, like you knew you were going to win that hand each time, then it takes away the fun. The losing the hand in a frustrating way, in a way that surprises you, the surprise is still part of the fun part.
So it's like you got drawn out on. Just say that.
I got drawn out on. Everyone knows that.
Just say that.
See, everyone knows that.
Fuck's sake. No, that's good. That's great.
No, thanks. Yeah, like a lot of poker stuff happened this year. So,
yeah, what's your obsession with poker?
It's random.
What's your obsession with poker, really?
Really, just
what's it really about? Don't lie to the audience.
Don't bluff the audience.
Yeah, don't lie.
It's just so fun for me. Yeah, and like, yeah. And it's fun the skill aspect of it, the learning the game, the complexity of the game. I really respect the complexity of the game. It's just there's so many aspects to it. Whether you're into the technical math side of it, or the psychology aspect of it, or if you're like me and I've always liked both things. I like math and I like psychology, and then bankroll, like management. I just feel like it's all of my things that I've worked on in different parts of my life combined into one that's a game. So you're playing. It doesn't feel like work. It feels like playing and you're working on a skill. And it's a game that's more complex than chess. No AI can beat a human at No Limit Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
Yet.
No Deep Blue, no IBM computer.
No, and I just think there's so many aspects of it that fascinate me. You can never stop learning. Like you can never stop evolving in that game. Like you continue to evolve forever. And there's always elements changing and people getting better at certain things. And like the game changes in so many ways over the years. It's just fascinating to me. I really like it. And I got just heavily more into it this year. And also I feel like it helped me in life with decision-making and risk management and just a lot of elements of it you can apply to life.
All bullshit. Aren't you just a degenerate gambler now?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I moved to Vegas. That was my whole plan all along.
Cool. Made it really easy for us to brand you.
You know what's so funny though, is that like we planned on moving to Vegas like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
And now we're, like, the timing of it.
Yeah, it's actually epic.
When I'm like, so I've been playing poker every night for the past like 5 months.
Yeah. Dude, we haven't even been here for 3 nights and I already hit the crypto all time high in our portfolio. Like
amazing.
It's like you're saying, the timing is just.
Yeah. We'll explain the original reason of moving to Vegas or considering to move to Vegas was to save on capital gains.
Save on capital gains cash with my crypto cash out plan, which I was mentioning 3.5 years ago at JK Party with the boys. And I got everyone geared towards moving to Vegas, which is why Bart moved to Vegas. Like, everyone's going to move to Vegas like sooner than you guys all think. I promise you, because everyone wants to cash out in Vegas because the fucking California state taxes are wild.
Yeah. Vegas or Texas?
Damn right.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Vegas has a better case because it's a 45-minute plane ride to LA or whatever
absolutely.
You want to do. Yeah.
And we're just familiar with it.
Exactly. Speaking, and we like it. We love Vegas. We used to come to Vegas 4 times a year.
And people are like, it's different living there than it is being tourists. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, it's better.
Speaking of my grandma, she's the only member of my family that lived here. And she used to try to talk everyone into moving to Vegas. And she lived here and she loved it.
She was a genius.
And all my other family members were like, it's gross out there. It's like hot. And it is. I mean, we haven't lived through a summer here. So don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be complacent or cocky about it, but
we lived in the valley.
I just the valley is really
unused
hot too.
To prohibitively hot.
I will say it's much drier here and it takes some adjusting, but humidifiers are a good thing. Yeah. But we actually stayed with our friends Chad and V for a week just to feel what it would feel like to actually live here and not just be a tourist. And we stayed at their house in Summerlin. And we went to the restaurants and the grocery stores and the places that you would go if you lived here.
We didn't go to the strip
and we drove around the neighborhoods and we loved it.
Yeah. And we loved it even more now that we live here. So that's what's crazy.
Yeah.
And I have not had a problem acclimating to the dryness here.
I've had less of a problem than I thought I was going to have.
It's been nothing for me.
When we were closing the house here, I had a terrible problem. Yes. I was dying.
Yes. But I think you had bronchitis, but yeah.
I don't think I had bronchitis.
Well, you sounded like it.
Yeah, yeah, sure. It wasn't COVID, but I think it was a mixture of the temperature drop because it drops more drastically and there's no moisture in the air, so there's not like a padding around it.
Yes.
And so, it was just hard for my body to adjust with that. But I do feel like now that we've been here for a week, and because we came in intervals during the escrow process, I'm adjusting way better than I thought. And I was scared about how the cats were going to adjust
to
it.
Me too.
And they are having the time of their life. They're partying.
I've never seen them get along with this.
They're partying way harder than
we
are.
We have four cats, guys, and they love each other.
I thought
right
they'd
now.
Be tired and drained from moving. I thought they'd be scared. They fucking love it here.
If there were different war tribes, like Mama and Joe were on different like fucking sides of the fucking atmosphere.
These are cats. Okay. Like for people
but
that didn't.
Mama and Joe during this, they have the similar personalities.
Yeah.
They like found each other through this.
Yeah.
And like they've been buds.
They're like group trauma.
Yeah, group trauma buddies.
Buddies.
Like support therapy.
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious. I'm so glad we moved here. It's crazy. I really can't emphasize enough. And I do sound like I'm trying to recruit people into a cult, but I really do wish everyone could just
Well, everyone
give this
in Vegas is like, don't bring more Californians over
here.
Right? So we're not trying
to
recruit you, but I just am really happy. And I think I've always had a little bit of trouble being accepting happiness, like that I deserve it or that like...
That you don't deserve it.
Yeah, exactly. That I've had a problem accepting that. Or like sometimes I'm like, I got to work way harder to prove that
I do that.
That I earned this or whatever. And it's like, I never just go, thank you, and receive it, you know? And so this year I've just been really... you know, trying to work on that. And my therapist has helped a lot. I think, you know, the going back to therapy this year has really helped. And I've really had my eyes open to how much emotional and mental well-being actually affects so many aspects of my life. Because when that's not, when that's not being taken care of, it doesn't really matter. Nothing else matters because I'm not as efficient anyway.
Yeah.
And so I can be like so productive or whatever, think I'm being productive because I'm not stopping working, but I'm burning myself out to a crisp. And then I can't work for like a month because I'm so burnt out. And
exactly.
And that's what happens. And so she's helped a lot with that. And also some PTSD trauma stuff that I had that I didn't realize I was still like really holding on to, like where the panic attacks were kind of rooted in. And then on top of that, getting diagnosed with ADHD, which I haven't really gotten into a lot because there's still a big stigma around it. And I didn't want to feel like, I didn't want to be a mouthpiece about it without, you know, really learning, but it made so many things fall into place for me where
it was the biggest help I think you've had this year.
I cried so much because it just out of happiness, because it all made sense. Yeah. Like so many parts of my childhood made sense. So many parts of why I am the way I am, the things I would beat myself up on right now. Like now I'm like, oh, that's just because my brain works differently. I used to get so mad at how scatterbrained I was that I couldn't just focus on one thing for, and then I would hyper focus on one thing forever, and then I forget all this other stuff that I had to do.
I remember,
and
it was so frustrating. I'd be like, "Stop being so fucking scatterbrained!" Remember that?
Yeah, I used to yell at me.
Yeah, I would scream at you about it.
My dad actually did.
I know. I'm sorry.
And like there was because I cried in one session with my therapy that all my life I've been told I'm really smart. Because academically, I was getting straight A's and I'm really smart. I can learn things very easily.
You're whip smart.
But then I also was being called very dumb all the time, like so stupid, because I would lock the keys in the car. And my dad would be like, don't lock the keys in the car this time. And I would fucking lock the keys in the car. And they would, I would feel like the dumbest piece of shit person on earth. Like, how am I so fucking stupid?
No, and, it's the opposite.
And that's just like,
it's actually the opposite. We're real quick.
Yeah.
Because I know you. It's the opposite in such a huge way that I can't even believe nobody saw that. But like you do that because you're hyperactively thinking about something else.
Yeah.
So you're just autopiloting something. And this is why, not to dunk a little bit, but to dunk. Sometimes Nikki's like, hey, can you get my phone for me? Hey, honey, can you get my phone for me? And I'm like, sure. And I'm like, where is it? And she's like, it's downstairs on the coffee table. And I'll go downstairs. I'll look by the coffee table. And then I'm like, I got to be extra sure it's not by the coffee table. Because if it's by the coffee table and I come upstairs and I go, it's not by the coffee table, and she goes downstairs and she finds it, I'm fucked. It's over. But I have it down to a science now where I'll be like, no, it's not. I'll be like, it's got to be right by you. Because the only place it could be is right by you. But this is what happens to you because you overthink something and you're thinking about something else.
Yeah.
You actually just forget that you were holding it like even 35 seconds ago.
That literally happened today. I had my phone in my hand.
Exactly.
And I got a massage today. They have you put your phone and everything to the side. And so I gathered all my things. And at the end, I was like, do you know where my phone went? Like, my phone's gone now. Did you put it somewhere? And it's in my hand. It was in my hand. And she's like, is it that your phone in your hand?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so dumb.
Dude, that masseuse.
I'm so dumb.
I wish her and I could talk for 30 minutes.
Yeah. And it wasn't accusing her of anything either. She was like, it's okay. She was like,
it feels that way, though.
Yeah, it does.
Because we're just trying to help you find the thing.
Yeah, and I'm just, like, trying to find the thing.
But you're very matter of fact, which is totally fine. And by the way, I accept you as you are. There's no criticism here. It's just fucking hilarious because I'm like, dude, if I don't fucking cross every I and dot every T.
Cross every I, please.
No. And if I don't underline every single fucking N, I'm about to get wrecked. But that's what I'm saying. Like it's just funny how that works. Because, you're just thinking about other things and you don't even realize.
Yeah. And then, like, other dumb things, like common sense stuff, I get wrong. Or, like, I say words wrong because I read them more than I say them. So
yeah, but also, too. To her incredible credit, I can't even tell you how many times I've brought her into a friend group, for example. And she's like, hey, I don't know about these guys. And I'm like, what? And like 6 months later, I'm like, dude, Nikki, you're a fucking legend, bro. Like, you nailed this shit.
Yeah.
You've done it like every time.
It's the intuition thing. It's creepy. It helps with poker.
It's creepy.
Yeah, that's why people thought I cheated at Mafia.
I know.
Or they thought I cheated at Salem.
Dude, no, you're good.
But
you're good. You get the fucking juice.
But yeah, I have been a couple times I've misread people in the opposite way, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure. It's just interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
So the therapy thing really helped because she helped just put things into perspective of what I've, like, how I've been identifying myself and like she said, like, I was identifying myself by the labels that other people put on me, and like, it's true. And then we all do that. Mm-hmm. So whatever you were told you were in childhood over and over. And so it was such a weird dichotomy for me because for sure. I was told both things, that like, you're so super smart and you're so super dumb.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I never know what it is. That's why I beat myself up so much when I do something dumb, because I don't know how it happens. And then with the ADHD thing, it's like, oh, I wasn't, okay, I'm not dumb. It's just that my brain does it differently.
Yeah, you're hyperactively focused on something else.
Yeah. And then also socially, like, I just miss certain social cues sometimes.
Yes, you do.
Where I just completely like think something's acceptable, and then I feel the tone in the room change, and I'm like, what did I say? I did something. I fucked up. What did I say? I don't know.
You flash your tits, honey. People don't do that.
A lot of why my family shows love is by roasting
people. Oh,
like,
me too.
If you get a good roast in, it means that you know me enough to get a good roast in, and so it feels like we're closer. And so a few times I went too far where I thought I made a fucking great roast. Like, it was like, I just fucking hit it. And it's so funny, and because it's so true, but also in a funny way. And it's not like a knock on them. It's just like, I know you so well that this, like, and they didn't have it, and it was bad. And I felt awful because I just thought we were connecting so well.
That's
and
really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's a fun ride.
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's it. Those are the shit that they don't tell you in 2021.
I love it.
Kind of learned and grew from, and hopefully we'll to learn and grow
we're
more.
Doing good.
This is like such a 180 from where we were last year. I feel like my entire world is completely different right now than it was last year, and in an exciting way. Same. And I don't know what's going to happen, but that's the fun part.
The fact that we're filming this right now, and for example, right now, I can actually get up and walk out of this room without probably taking a fucking tripod with me is insane.
Yeah. This will eventually be our podcast room. Yes.
But it's wild how big this is compared to how small it was.
Yeah.
Where there was no space. You couldn't even breathe.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah,
you couldn't. To walk by a tripod.
And it was like stuffed in my little office that also had a desk and a huge daybed in it.
Brutal.
It was really hard to fit all the cameras and lights
in. We're so thankful to all you guys. We couldn't have done any of this without you guys. We thank you guys to the moon.
Thank you so much.
Good Lord. You've changed our lives forever.
Also, just like hearing stories from you guys of... Because we never know if we're just shouting into air. And then like on the, you know, some of the Q&As saying, people are like, I took your advice 2 years ago.
Yes.
And
it's insane.
And now it's really worked out for me. And it's like, wow, that feels good to know that my mistake that I made, that I learned from, that then I could help you prevent you from making the same mistake.
Or even actually tonight worked. I was expressing frustration with a Crypto Corner friend who I was like, man, I just, they're like, they asked me, they're like, you must feel really good because you've helped a lot of people win, like all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, but I always think about like the people that got left behind, like people in my own family, people where I'm like, they didn't do it. And then this person goes, hey, I want you to screenshot a picture of my portfolio here. And you show them that I'm a millionaire now because I was on Crypto Corner. And I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. Like, this is like crazy. Like that you got there.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy to even think that like, you know, you're a person, you're out there in the world and like, you're like, you did that.
Yeah.
Like people are looking at you and going, holy shit, you did what? You're worth what now? And that this person goes like, yeah, I did this thing called Crypto Corner with the fucking YouTube comedian. I listened to a YouTube comedian about crypto. Like, it's fucking amazing, man. I'm just so proud of
that risk management.
I'm so happy for everybody, man. It's great. I'm so happy for everybody.
You should be proud.
It's insane. I can't even thank anybody enough. I really can't. They all thank me the whole time. If you're in there, they'll all thank me, but I promise you.
Don't be a pussy.
I thank you even more. Because I spent years just... you know, trying to help people win and being very disappointed in my own circle and my own family because they all chose to make fun instead. And, you know, people who you could argue are strangers instead give you so much love when people who are your own family don't. I just appreciate you guys so much. You have no idea. I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. The kinds of just the things that people are saying. It's like, yeah. I don't deserve any.
No, you do. That's awesome, honey. You see what you did? You made my fucking husband cry. You feel good? Feel good about that?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Supposed to be a man when I'm not showing any emotions, no, you know?
I mean, bitch.
Yeah.
Not very Richard P. Miller of him, is it?
Well, that's beautiful. You're getting a taste of what happens, which they don't tell you after
there
dark.
There you go. There you go.
Steve Green opening up.
Ah. It's hard.
Yeah, that's even something that happened, I think, within the past year.
That's true.
Past year and a half.
Completely closed off for
emotionally.
Four wall environment. Yeah. For sure. Anyway, all right. We got to go.
Okay. Well, I love you.
I love you, baby. She's the best, guys.
We love you.
Nobody comes better than this one. There's no one more supportive than this one.
This one right
here.
Oh,
man.
Usually I'm the one that cries. So if he's crying, I'm not allowed to cry. So I'm not crying just for that. But I could and then he'd have to stop. Because only one can cry at a time.
That's true. Should tell Mark to edit it out. And he actually would. It's a weird thing that happens.
Mark, don't edit that shit out. That's views right there.
See, he listens to her.
In fact, title this Steve Green Cries on Jesus. Camera.
That's not the first. We'll be fine.
All right, guys. Well, happy new year.
Yes, happy new year, everybody.
Happy holidays. Hope you had a great 2021. 2021 was weird as fuck. Okay, I'm not going to lie. Like, this is weird as fuck year in the world. But, like, I hope you, like, internally... like maybe could find your moments that maybe like helped you for your life, you know, that maybe you thought something was terrible that happened and it turned around or it's about to turn around, or just know that like everything timing wise happens when it's supposed to. So yeah, we love you guys. And thanks for another year with Shit They Don't Tell You.
Thank you, everybody. Thank
you. This is our third year. Wow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, 2021.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.